Good evening.
Good evening.
It's nice to have such a big crowd. It's terrible when you have a half-empty room. You wonder where you're going to sit. I mean, it's a crowd. It's quite easy to make up your mind. But it's nice to be here. I looked at the passage last week. And for me, it's so nice when you visit a church and they say, Kenny, could you speak on? And they just give you a heading or a subject or a topic. And I find that easy because I'm a sort of creative person. And then it's a little bit easy if someone actually gives you a passage or a title. But then it gets a little bit more restricted if someone gives you a title and a passage. That's what Nick gave me. So his title was Planted and Built on a New Covenant. Then he said Jeremiah 31, 27 to 37. And I will get to the point in a minute, I know. But I thought to myself, you look at that and it's smack bang in the middle of something else. So if I haven't been here, I haven't heard what other people have been saying before. And if I don't come next week, I won't know what people say afterwards. So hopefully I will say the things that will be helpful to you tonight and bring a blessing in that. So let's pause and pray before we look into this passage. Father, I do pray that the words that you have for us tonight will be clearly understood as your words. And the words that are mine, may they be left behind and forgotten. So Father, I do pray that our lives will be open before you tonight and we will be able to hear your words and to be able to apply it and live it out for the praise of your glory. Teach us, I pray, through your word. Amen. It's a joy to spend time in a passage in a book like Jeremiah. Another little side before I get into this passage. My principal at Bible College, his nickname was Jeremiah, because he was this sort of preacher who always preached on woe is me and gloom and doom and that sort of thing. He said to us very nicely, he said, I only do this because that's the message God keeps giving me. He said, often I pray, Lord, can I have a word of encouragement for this people today? And God would always give him doom and gloom messages. But we called him Jeremiah because if Jeremiah had to look like something, he would look like our principal. Big, tall guy and very sort of gangly sort of guy. But anyway, so we get to this passage in Jeremiah. This we read about a time to plant. See, Israel up to this point had been uprooted. They've been torn down. But now God comes to Jeremiah with words that to speak to the people. It's a time to plant. A time to build. Time to build what's been destroyed. A time to plant and begin again. This message had begun in chapter 30, verse 1. God's word has come to Jeremiah. God's word was for all of Israel. That's the two houses, the Israel and Judah. But they were speaking to the whole house. So it's a message of unity. It's a message for everyone. A message to come together once more. I love the idea of rebuild. I love the idea of planting something new. I get very frustrated when I see people just ploughing on because this is the way we did it. This is the way we can continue. And sometimes God says, no, it's time to build. It's a time to plant. It's a time to begin again. And this message in Jeremiah is full of that hope of something new, I love those verses in the Psalms. It tells us to sing a new song. And that's such an encouragement for me, because I sing very flatly. So to be encouraged to sing something new, but something new, something that God wants us to begin. Also in this passage we read this whole idea of a new covenant. The old was broken. Not broken by God, but broken by man. So God says it's a time for newness. So let's just have a look what we can learn in this passage. Verse 27 to 28, firstly. Verse 27. This begins with, "The days are coming. The days are coming, declares the Lord. These days of planting are going to come. Days of coming together. Once again, one nation will be building again." God says, "I will plant the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the offering, with the offsprings of men and animals." It's a complete rebuild. And it's not just for you as men and women, but I'm also in the business of animals. That's the whole life. Things that you care for. This was a farming community, so animals was a part of their livelihood. So maybe it will be worded differently for us today, but it was their livelihood. That's when we read animals. One nation built on this new covenant. The days are coming. This phrase, by all accounts, this phrase, it often refers to a messianic era. So there's a looking forward to the Christ coming. I think that's wonderful. Even way back in the days of Jeremiah, in the days when it seemed to all be going wrong, this little phrase, "the days are coming," often refers to this messianic era on this way. See, the covenant, we've been reading, we've been hearing in the morning services about, even in for children, Nick was this morning telling us about how to sacrifice bulls and goats and sheep and sprinkle blood around. I don't know what sort of conversations were had at lunchtime with little kids, but blood is very important to God for sealing this covenant. And this new covenant will be brought in by the blood of Christ. God will teach them to build and to plant. See, it says, "I will watch over them to build and to plant," declares the Lord. God is in the business. He watched them as things were torn down, but he will watch again as they build and to plant again. In verses 29 to 30, it says, "In those days, people will no longer say," do you get fed up with those old wives' tales that people will tell you has a godly inheritance to it? People will tell you, "Oh, this is something you think has nothing to do with it." These people were chanting this little proverb for so long, they believed it was God's word. In my NIV, it says, "The fathers will eat sour grapes and the children's teeth will be set on edge." See, this was such a well-known proverb. Many people believed it was God's word. We have to be careful. What is our source of our proverbs? Where is our source of encouragement? This is repeated in Ezra 18, verse 2 as well. They were using this proverb as an excuse. You know, "I am what I am because of my dad. I am what I am because of my people. They done wrong, that's why I'm doing wrong." They were using this proverb as an excuse. But God says, In those days, people will no longer say, you're not going to be able to stand up and make excuses. These days will come when we must understand the misunderstandings, and we will need to stand in front of God and answer for our own mistakes, our own wrongs. We cannot say, oh, but it was my dad. Oh, but it's my family. Oh, but it's my neighborhood. Oh, well, whatever, whatever. No longer will you be without excuses. Do you know this is where we get that saying about sour grapes? Have you heard that? Everyone talks about sour grapes. This is where that passage, this is where the word for comes from there. Funny how lots of phrases in the English language has the original bits from the Bible. It's really interesting how that comes up. In verse 30 it says, no longer, so then in verse 30 it says, instead, everyone will die for his own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. Judgment has come against you. We have to say we are wrong and we need to seek our own forgiveness. That's what God is saying here. These days will come. Days of planting, days of building. But we need to make sure we build with a personal response to our wrongs. And in verse 31 to 34, another phrase comes up. It's, the time is coming. So we had, in those days, we began, the days are coming. Now we have, a time is coming, declares the Lord. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And this is one of those, did you know? Some of you will say, yes, I knew. This is the only place in the Old Testament where the new covenant is mentioned. This is the only place where the new covenant is mentioned in the Old Testament, this phrase, new covenant. So God is intending to build a new covenant, write a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This covenant will not be not like the others, where you write it out on parchment and you sacrifice animals and you seal it and you sign it and all the other business. No, this new covenant will be something completely different. Not like the one in the past. The old was broken. God didn't break the covenant. He says, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. God was faithful in the old covenant. Man was unfaithful in the old covenant. So the people broke the covenant with God. It's time for a new covenant. It's so lovely when you receive grace like that. When you feel you busted something, or your generation or your family or whatever busted something, but God shows grace and says, I'm going to build a new covenant with you. That's grace. It's funny, the word grace is such a rich word for us Christians. Last Monday, in the place I go to on Monday mornings for ministry, I was talking to a Sudanese Muslim, and we talked about grace, and he said, I don't understand that word. I don't have that word. What is that word? And to explain grace to someone is such a rich thing to do, to explain, to receive something that we do not deserve. The riches of God's grace. We've blown it. We broke that covenant. God says, now I'm going to build a new covenant with you. But this new covenant is something already, it's something different. It's within. Something within is harder to break, isn't it? You know, if it's in here, it's harder to break. Within us. I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with your forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Isn't that wonderful? If we get right thinking, it's easier to have a right relationship with God. It's this, the thoughts, that causes all our problems. We can get distracted. We can think wrong thoughts, and we can go the wrong way. But God says, I'll put my laws in your mind and write them on your heart. I will be their God and they will be my people. And I like verse 34. It says, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Isn't it great that God chooses not to remember your sins? That doesn't mean God is forgetful like I am. You know, but no, he chooses not to remember your sins. It's one thing to forget something, but it's another thing to choose to forget something. So if you say to God, if you ask for forgiveness of something and you say to him maybe a week later, oh Lord, you know that what I told you about last week about? No, I don't remember that. He chose not to remember that. It won't come up again. It's so annoying when you have friends who remind you of something that you did wrong 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or even just last week. But God remembers no more. So good. So good. So because this covenant is within, everyone will know, from the least to the greatest. He is the one who will forgive their sins. This new covenant. I got excited because it's told me in one of the commentaries, and I was trying to find out the real quote. Sometimes I get a bit jumbled with my notes. I get so excited. I write down lots of notes. Then I think, hang on, that's only half a quote, but never mind. But I wrote down somewhere that this word new covenant, if you translate it into Latin, you get the word New Testament. Fill in the blanks and it will be a good quote. But so from this new covenant word, we get the word New Testament. That's pretty good. I don't know if that helps anyone, but it helped me. I got excited. Not lastly. Don't say that word, Kenny. Otherwise people might think it's coming near the end. Fourth point, verse 35 to 37. God says he's faithful because he created everything, and the created order, so the creation, declares his faithfulness. And I think that's wonderful. You know, we know in the darkest gloom of winter, God will faithfully bring us to springtime. And through the newness of springtime, we will have summertime. God is faithful. His creation order shows his faithfulness. That's what these verses say. It says, 35 to 37 says, this is what He who anoints the sun to shine by day, who declared to the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that it waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Pretty awesome. That means the created order speaks of God's faithfulness. We can have faith in God because we know the sun will shine in the day, the moon will shine at night. We can see the beauty of creation, and we know one thing will follow another thing. It's a wonderful promise of God's faithfulness to look around us. Who is the Lord? He is the Lord of all, the Creator God. The days are coming. God is faithful. God is true. The created order then speaks of the trustworthiness of the Creator. So this is the place we can build. Build on God's truth. Build on God's faithfulness. This covenant within. Now I did ask young Nick this evening, how long have I got? 1 minute? 2 minute? And he said, I never heard you speak less than 2 minutes, Kenny. So I don't know how long I got tonight, so I'm going to summarize what we've been learning. So hopefully this summary won't take too long. So what can we learn from this passage, Jeremiah, tonight in 2017? See, it's all right to have a lovely Bible passage before us. We can understand it. We can begin to dig a little bit deeper below the surface. But what's the point for us today? What's the point of this? We know the days are coming. In some ways, the days have come. We know the days of this new covenant has arrived. So we live in this days of the new covenant. We have a covenant within us, sealed by the blood of the Lamb. All covenants were sealed by blood. We have the perfect sacrifice, Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Messiah, who died for us on that cross. That sealed that new covenant. And by the Holy Spirit, we can know him. He teaches us, guides us. We have, each one of us has the Holy Spirit within us. By the Holy Spirit, we can know God more and more each day. That's why we had those two funny verses. But why have we got those two funny verses, Kenny? Colossians 1, verse 27 says, to them God is chosen to make known among the Gentiles, that's all of us, except for if you've got a Jewish background, I do apologize, but it's all of us. Lost my place again. To them God chosen among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Wow. The covenant within us is Christ. And he's the hope of glory. No other world religion has their founder, their leader, that dwells within each follower. That's uniqueness to Christianity. It's amazing to have Christ within us. So we're without excuse, aren't we? We are blessed to have Nick here to guide us, but we also have even greater blessing to have Christ in us. That's our hope of glory. So God doesn't only... Some people tell me, when you become a Christian, Kenny, he'll give you a clean heart. heard that lovely little phrase. But no, here it says, Christ gives you a new heart, a new one. Why do you want your old one cleaned up? It's so nice to have a new heart, a new heart. That's the new covenant with him, written on the hearts. There's a lovely gospel song, has a line, forgiveness is just a prayer away. We don't need to run to a priest. We don't need to do all sorts of stuff to get forgiveness. We just need to cry out for forgiveness in a simple prayer. Planted in Christ, built on Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then that other strange verse I asked to be read, one of my favourite verses, Galatians 2:20. Some people ask me, what is a Christian, Kenny? I often read them this verse. I have been crucified with Christ. So that means, crucified means you no longer live. So I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Pretty good new covenant, isn't it? So we are built and planted in Christ. We are without excuse, and we have this new covenant with God. So that's my encouragement today. If you're not sure if you have Christ in you, I know you all should have and know that. But that's where we can begin today, knowing that we have this covenant with God, this covenant of peace, this covenant of forgiveness, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you for listening. I'm just going to close with a word of prayer. Bless you, Father God, that you came to this earth. You showed man how to live a life that pleases God. A life that is lived out in love for you and for his neighbor. And Lord, you hung there, you died for each one of us, that we may truly be forgiven. And now we have that joy of Christ in us, the hope of glory, this new covenant within, written on our hearts and minds. No longer do we have to say, know the Lord. We all know the Lord because Christ is in us. Thank you, Father God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.